brother. What's up?
This is a Cuban party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, dig it. Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning. Connor, how you doing, young man? I can't hear you.
I said I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, man. It's always good to see you.
Yeah, same here.
And I want to say, before we get started, I got a couple great guests lined up for the entire show. And I want to begin with welcoming my first guest, Ms. Tamu Kenyama. Good morning to you, dear sister. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Is the pronunciation of your name correct?
Absolutely.
It is wonderful. We have a mutual friend, Brother Tony Courtney, who I owe a debt of gratitude to. I am probably as aware of things as I am because as a young man, I had the pleasure of sitting down and drinking at the foot of Brother Tony Courtney.
Great, great, good people.
Yeah, so let's do this. Let's begin by who is Tamu Kenyama?
Well, Tamu wears many hats. Wife, mother, grandmother, community warrior, educator.
You know, you are here to talk about an episode that occurred in your life, half a century ago, and when you and I both were very young people. And, looking at this life through rose-colored glasses from the standpoint that we didn't like what we saw, and we thought we'd be able to change the world. Did you? I've got a young producer here who's 20 years old, and I talked about this the other day with him. He has the whole world before him, and when I was his age, I really thought I was going to change the world.
Right.
As you get older and grayer and wiser, that old axiom, wisdom is wasted on the young. Youth is wasted on the young.
But
that's what, idealism is, and the fact that there was a battle that had to be fought. Let's talk a little bit about a book that you have written, 1148 Lewis Street. Let's first begin by going back to those 60s and the turbulent 60s and what was going on that a young person like you and those you were with were uneasy. What was the society like for black people?
It was very oppressive. And as a young person, we saw that things were not in our favor on almost any level. As we were more exposed to what was going on, not just in our communities, but in the whole society and the world, we saw that our people, were not getting what we should get, or what we thought we should get. And so, we began to work toward trying to create a better life and better conditions for our people, which led me to, as a matter of fact, even in school, in college, I did attend UWM, and that was a very good jumping point for us because the Black Studies program at that time was very, very thorough and took us back further than some of us had studied before as growing up in the public schools. We didn't get that much information about our people and our culture. So that took us way back to pre-colonial time, pre-slavery, and pre-all of that. So, you know, that learning more and more about ourselves and our people just was motivating for us to see that there was a better way and a better life for us ahead. But we were going to have to be the ones to do it. Nobody else is going to do it for us.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that led us to being involved with different organizations in the community.
You know, I'm a born and bred Milwaukeean, and so I remember, too, as a very young man, a young boy, just how oppressive Milwaukee was and the fact that we were so segregated. And it was at a time when there was pushback, and our generation was one that was not going to be as acceptable or accommodating as the one before us. And the movement was live and ripe, and the energy was just unmatched. And it was a time in history that I don't even think we even understood the magnitude of what we were actually involved in.
Right. And it wasn't just our community that was fighting against the status quo. Other communities as well. There was just, you know, upheaval everywhere, you know, on college campuses, and, you know, people dropping out of society, doing their own thing. So, because things were, the status quo was just horrible at that time. And for us, for people in our age group, you know, we could see that there was, things were not as they should be. And as I said, people dropping out of society, being flower children, hippies, and in that community. And then, and in our community, we were, you know, having issues on campuses as well. And as I said, the more we were exposed, the more we desired and were inspired to move, to try and move heaven and earth to get better conditions for ourselves and our people.
You know, one of the things that I will never forget is that there was this divide in between us, and it was whether or not you were going to follow Dr. King or whether or not you're going to follow Malcolm X. And the movement, and you know, so how did you, what made you make the decision to follow the more aggressive African centric side of things as opposed to Dr. King?
Well, again, exposure makes the difference. There were things like with Dr. King, you know, we respected him, and we felt that our struggle needed to be addressed on every level, and that was the level that he chose. But it just wasn't for people of my mindset. And when being exposed to the other side, following Malcolm, basically, was just more appealing to us. And then the other thing is that a lot of people didn't realize is that it really wasn't that big of a difference between the two. And then at a point, they began to be closer connected in their outlook on what needed to happen. It really wasn't as far as apart as the media and everybody else in this, you know, make it seem as though they were just totally, totally opposite, but they were not totally opposite.
So let's talk about the Republic of New Africa and what that organization was and what enamored you to become a member of the Republic of New Africa?
Again, you know, being exposed, I had never heard of ideas like reparations. I had never heard about the possibility of us as a people in this hemisphere separating and having our own government. So when I was exposed to that, I'm like, wow, it was just, it was overwhelming for me, and I was hooked. It was just like a rebirth, and I jumped in with all I had in supporting the idea of separation and independence, and of course reparations, etc.
Well, you know, the reason that you are a guest today is because you're back in Milwaukee. To talk about a book that you've written and 1148 Lewis Street. Let's talk about what that is.
Okay, first of all, let me explain the title. The title, 1148 Lewis Street, A Long Journey, came from the incident that happened 51 years ago in Mississippi, where the Republic of New Africa had two headquarters, two government centers, I'm sorry. One was the main headquarters, and the other one was more where citizens of the Republic worked and went out and worked the community, talking about RNA, Republic of New Africa. And, of course, we were not welcome in Mississippi. You know, you think about 51 years ago, they definitely were not welcoming us coming in, talking about black power, etc. So anyway, there was a shooting incident. We were at the house.
So hold on a second. Mm-hmm. We've got to go to a break. My guest is Tamu Kinyama. She is the author of 1148 Lewis Street. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.